Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Morning, Key. Morning, Jay.
What's happening?
What's good, baby?
Hey,
man,
Key.
Man, what's happening?
I just want to say something off the bat.
Yes.
Because we didn't address it in our first hour, and I think it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, what is it?
How impressed I am with Golden State.
Oh.
Just with you, not with you.
That,
with Golden State.
That top five MVP list.
Yes. Number one, when your coach catches COVID 2 hours before the game and he is removed, and the coach who just signed a deal to be the next Sacramento Kings head coach is then your interim head coach, he gets to win on a night in which your two stars were off shooting from the field, 19% from the three-point line. Your energy backpack and Jordan Poole did not play well. And the spiritual leader of your team has literally lost a teammate to death in Adrian Payne, his Michigan State teammate, that day. So, you know, we talk often about how people navigate through adversity and how it doesn't look right for teams. And hearing the guys, TNT last night, late night, talk about that's not a championship team. I hear what everybody's saying this morning. And there is a big part of me because I have stuff betted on the game with Memphis winning, you know, two Tom Ford suits with Stephen A. Smith, where I get mad about it. But I just want to applaud the Golden State Warriors for finding a way to battle through all these adverse things we just talked about and still finding a way to win down the stretch in a really muddy, ugly game where they were down the whole game to a team in which didn't have their star in Ja Morant. And people are going to say, oh, they didn't have their star. They didn't come out with the same firepower. Well, sometimes it's hard to muster up energy to play in these games. It's hard to battle through all these little things when your shots aren't going down. But just kudos to Golden State for finding a way to get the game done and now being up 3-1 and have a chance to close it out on the road to Memphis. Cheers to you, Golden State. That's all I wanted to say to start off the show. With that kind of energy, doesn't matter what you throw at me, Max and Key, I am finding a way to win in life. That's all. Mic drop.
You want to follow that at all, Key?
What do you got to say, Key? Shady Kane, what do you got to say?
I just want to say that veteran leadership goes a long way.
Yes, it does.
In these situations, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think when you look at Golden State's situation, yeah, they were down most of the game and whatnot, but yet and still, it 12 points down the fourth quarter, but everything else was close. It wasn't. They were down 6, maybe 8, then they drop it back down to 4, then a 3, then back up to 6. It wasn't like they was down 12 and 15 and 20 the entire game. So they knew in the end, growing up, that's kind of how the Lakers used to be, right? Growing up, the Lakers would be down. Magic then would be down in the fourth quarter by 10, 12, but you always knew the veteran leadership and the players that they had, in the end, they would be the ones with the W's and the other team would be walking off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the same way about Golden State last night because of the Currys and the Thompsons and the Draymonds, they find a way to win. That is what champions have done. And I know you mentioned the guys on TNT last night said that's not championship basketball. I didn't win a championship in basketball, but I've been around sports long enough to know what championships look like. And that is a championship caliber team because when they needed to dig deep, they dug deep enough to pull out a victory.
Anki, last point on Golden State. It's personal for me in this show because I have stated multiple times that I think Steph Curry will finish top 10 all-time greatest NBA players. Max Kellerman always tells me he and Kendrick Perkins has added on to this that he needs to win a Finals MVP. Okay, 18 points in the fourth quarter last night to close it out. Made free throw after free throw after free throw after free throw to seal this game for his team. Okay, Steph, moving in that direction.
No doubt, moving in that direction.
The list that we're showing right now, the most career three-pointers made in the playoffs.
Yep.
That's interesting because everybody on this list is in, like, the modern-day era of basketball where the three was part of it except Ray Allen. Everybody else was – well, Ray was on the middle.
He's in the cusp of it. Yeah, he was straddling two different
eras. But everybody else, I was looking at the list, I'm like – Of course, everybody. That's what they
used
do
to, the
nowadays.
Best three-point shooter in the league used to shoot 3-4 times a game from three. Now it's 12 times a game.
You got Steph Curry, LeBron James, Klay Thompson, Ray Allen, and James Harden as the most career three-point field goals made in NBA history. Of course.
All right, Key. Now I want to pivot to the Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis gave one away last night, and I am still angry about it. And here's what it leads me to think. Dylan Brooks – in this series against the Golden State Warriors, 24% shooting from the field, 22% from the three-point line, averaging 7 points per game, was ejected, missed game three after being ejected in game two for clobbering Gary Payton II. And the 8:37 mark in the third quarter, Key, here's how this goes for him. Foul, turnover, turnover, made three-pointer, missed three-pointer, shot blocked, missed three-pointer, foul.
It's the game
turnover.
Right there. Yeah.
Right? And it leads me to think, sometimes I feel like for Memphis, I know they're a young team, even though they had this game and they could have closed it out. They could have got a win on the road when Steph and Klay weren't playing that well. And it felt like they were missing that veteran presence down the stretch, typically where Ja would have taken those games over. But I'm thinking, how does Memphis go next level? And I'm looking at guys like Dylan Brooks, and I'm saying, Desmond Bane is already doing the things that Dylan Brooks, even though he played good last night defensively, Desmond Bane is doing that type of stuff. Are they one piece away? Like, is it
you want
Dylan
to use Dylan Brooks,
Brooks
in a package to bring
Kyle
someone in?
Kyle Anderson for a package for somebody, a veteran wing-like presence who can make shots down the stretch and be that addition to Ja Morant? Like, and I don't know what exactly that name is. Is that Victor Oladipo?
But
Pascal Siakam, if you can get him from Toronto? Are there wings out there that can take that fit into the defensive mindset of this team that can take them one notch above where they are right now?
Why now, though, Jay, you feel that way? And I'm not picking on you or anything like that. I just want to know why you feel this way now when it started a season for the most part. It started a season once you saw basketball being played, that you felt like Memphis can be here in the end, and now you feel like they need another guy. What shifted your mindset from that point to where you are today viewing them?
Alan Yates is our other hoops expert on this show, Philadelphia expert. Alan Yates, I call on you. How long have you and I been talking about Memphis being somewhat of one piece away?
It's been a while now, and like they need something. I don't know if it's that, you know, that gritty wing, or if they need a flamboyant scorer, but they need something to get them to have a little bit of pressure taken off of Ja Morant.
See, we've been talking about it for a while, though, and matchups mean something, right? So when I saw Golden State, that matchup, I was like, Steph was hurt, he was coming off the injury, wasn't sure about the timeline of him coming back, and then in addition, if Steph wasn't himself, like, it was an opportunity for Memphis being fully healthy. But with Steph coming back, I think that's kind of what changed it. And Dylan Brooks is good. I like him. I just see him more as an asset for moving a step closer.
I hear everything everyone's saying. I don't disagree with anything. And I understand it's not as simple as, well, if Ja plays and they barely lose, without Ja, they barely lose, then with Ja, they would have won. I know it doesn't work that way. In this case, though, the game was that close. I think if Ja plays after the team lost, he's that type of personality. He asserts himself at the end of the game. And I think we're looking at a knotted series. However, he didn't play. Taylor Jenkins, Grizzlies head coach at the postgame presser, do you think Ja will be available for game five? It is do or die.
Yeah, to be determined. I don't know. We're just going to see once we get back, you know, more evaluation where he's at.
Wow.
Yeah, man. If he can't go.
Key, I'm just still kind of like, and I'm never questioning somebody in their injury, and I know we have to go to break, but is the pull from Jordan Poole is like, is that what makes the knee so bad?
It did look like a little lateral instability. Like, I got worried when I watched it, you know, like in slow-mo, it's like, oh, I don't know, the knee is going in a direction it's not supposed to.
Wow.
Yeah. Listen, If he does go, it's credit to him, though, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you don't take it away if he doesn't. If he goes, it's credit to him.
Do or die now.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We will ask another great point guard what he thinks the Grizzlies are missing and if the Sixers have enough to beat the Heat. That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
If Key comes out and dribbles like a two-year-old, I'm going to lose my mind. Because I'm telling you, the first possession, I'm not going hard at Allen. No. I need to see Key go at Bart. Because Key and Bart are the ones that talk the most now.
Key should be able to go to work because he's going to be guarded by Bart.
And when Key scores on Bart, we will talk about that way more than we'll talk about the six buckets that I give anybody.
That's all Key's going to talk about.
Evan will be like, yeah, Key, it was a great move. We're going to make it into a SportsCenter special.
Key, you know I'm setting it up that way. You know I'm setting up that I am giving you the ball the first possession. I want you to go to work.
Keyshawn, well, I mean, J. Will, and Max, ESPN that's Radio, easy, man. Sirius XM like Channel this. 80,
ooh,
your smart speakers.
Okay. What was that a pass or was that a shot?
No, I'm saying, what you think, I'm going to shoot like that?
I mean, I don't know how.
Key, are you going to?
I've never seen you shoot before.
Are you going to attempt to get into some kind of cardiovascular condition in the next several weeks?
For a 15-point basketball game, you really think I'm out of shape like that?
No, I don't know.
Like,
I'm asking.
Really, no, are you really going to touch a ball?
But basketball shape's a little
pause,
different.
Pause. Phrasing.
All right,
so
listen.
You really honestly think that? Oh, well, whatever.
Listen, this thing has taken on a life of its own. Jay and Key are going up against Bart and Han. Bart and Han started it, talking about they could beat any show two-on-two, da-da-da-da. I'm not a part of this. They're like, yeah, you have to play too. Nope.
Yeah.
But Key and Jay have taken on Bart and Han. Guys, they're covering this on SportsCenter.
I feel confident about going against Allen Han and Bart Scott. What I didn't feel confident when I went against Cole Anthony, Greg Anthony's son, who now plays in NBA. That was a
But listen, what's going on SportsCenter.
This just into SportsCenter. Bart Scott and Allen Han have challenged Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams to a 2v2 basketball game. It is a slow day in sports, Randy.
They're going to play in basketball?
Allegedly.
In basketball. All right. So we got a former NFL player, Bart Scott, and the most improved player in the fourth grade, Allen Han. That's a big grade.
Nothing to sniff at.
Challenge Super Bowl champion Keyshawn Johnson and national champion and two-time national player of the year, Jay Will, to a basketball game. Okay. Bart Scott, confident?
It's like, only people I think could get us some work, maybe, is Jalen and Jacoby, because Jacoby like look like he can shoot spot up three.
I think he still plays.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I think other than that, I'm not worried about Chris Carlin and Chris Canty. We got them barbecue chicken. I don't think it's nobody else, period. I'm talking about both. I'm talking about the national
about
and the local.
Greeny and the hashtag crew, do you think we could take on them?
Oh, yeah.
If all the hashtags played and it's Jay
Will
and me.
Jay Will and Keyshawn, you know what I'm saying? Ooh. We just said you know, we sweep the leg, but you know, sweep the leg on Jay Weezy.
That's
Keyshawn going to run out of breath.
Just going to say it's kind of disrespectful that we're literally the tallest sports center pairing in the building. And
they couldn't beat us.
Didn't even mention anything. My one question is, will there be medical personnel on standby?
My thing is, do you want to do radio? Do you want to take over a radio show? Because two people are going to be murdered, and their names are Bart Scott and Allen Han. So they may need someone to take over their show.
Hey, Gary,
but no, seriously, guys.
Radio?
No, seriously. Good luck.
Jay, before we played that SportsCenter special, you mentioned Greg Anthony's son.
Yeah.
Greg Anthony is here, NBA analyst on TNT. What are your thoughts, Greg, on Jay back on the court?
What up, GA?
Hey, what's going on, Jay? I'm excited to see it. I did hear you guys say you will have, I guess, medical staff nearby just in case there are any concerns. I know Jay stays in shape, so I'm not as concerned. I don't know if does T stay in shape? Does he still grind and work out?
You know, Greg,
I'm just asking for a friend.
That would be no, Greg.
Hey, Greg, put it this way. I'm in enough shape that I'm not worried about them.
Okay.
GA.
Okay. Well, you know Bart is straight trying to play bully ball.
Oh yeah.
It ain't gonna be. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of skill involved.
That's what worries me, GA.
That's the thing that worries me. My face.
Exactly. Bart gonna injure. Yeah. He talking about sweeping the leg.
He's coming out in a mask like Joel Embiid.
Yes,
He played football. What do you expect?
Yeah, but my face, though, Greg, my money maker, man. Right? I can't have, you know, I can't. This thing right here is just, you know, I got to have a certain look, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to make sure y'all impose, like, flagrant and intentionals.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just to keep, you know, keep it honest.
GA,
when is this going to go down, by the way?
Oh, June 1st. June 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the date.
I'm going to get my popcorn then. Pay-per-view or what we got going on?
It's going to be live. It's going to be streaming. It's going to be
Twitter
streaming somewhere.
IG, what's going on?
I'm glad you know what streaming is. Key does not know what streaming is yet.
Does that have something to do with NFTs or is that something else?
This is anyway. Speaking of a team being on their game, GA, I have to ask you about last night. How do you look at this? Do you look at it as Memphis gave the game away, considering they're up 12 in the fourth quarter? Or do you look at Golden State won it and took it, even though it was an ugly game?
In that scenario, look, I think it goes both ways. But I do think that Golden State won the game simply because with their experience, they made the plays down the stretch. You know, they were able to make some changes, make some adjustments. I thought having Andrew Wiggins was a huge decision to put him on the ball for pressure. If you notice, they really took away options for Memphis because they forced Memphis to play late in the shot clock. And Memphis, without Ja, they don't have a dynamic offensive player. They don't really have anybody that Golden State has to load their defense to. And they just struggle to get good looks at the rim. I just felt like Desmond Bane, who's in essence been their second best player all season, his inability to have much of an impact, only getting up 8 shots. I just thought it was going to be a challenge for them. Listen, they did everything they needed to defensively. You know, they held Golden State to basically 100 points. You know, if you told me going into the game that they'd be able to hold them to 100 and have the lead with basically a minute to go in the game and not win it, I would have been a little surprised. But you got to give the credit to Golden State, man. They played harder. They played smarter. And they had the best player on the floor who took over in the fourth quarter.
Mm. Greg Anthony, NBA on TNT analyst, joins us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Greg, how much does the inexperience of the Memphis Grizzlies in this situation have them down 3-1?
You know, look, you could say it's the inexperience, but and that plays a role to this extent. I think it's more the lack of talent. And understand what I'm saying. It's not that they aren't a good team, but they didn't have their Steph Curry. You know, if you think about how this series has played out, with Ja on the floor, it changes everything that Golden State does defensively. With him not on the floor, you now have to ask guys, that you guys both know this in sports. The one thing a coach never wants to do is to ask players to do things they're not comfortable doing. And now all of a sudden, you have to find a guy who can offset the pressure and make plays and create opportunities for everybody. And they didn't have that. And so now it just makes the game harder. Golden State knew what they were going to get and how they were going to get it all game. I mean, especially in that fourth quarter. They were happy to be in a tight game because they felt like they had the best player. They had trust in how they were going to perform down the stretch. And I think Memphis just kind of lacked that a little bit. You know, yes, they had a lot of success during the regular season without Ja, but you guys both know the postseason's a completely different animal. You know, that's the fourth time they played a team in the last week. And that takes a toll. And that's why having great players are so important, because they tend to be able to have success against great defense. And not having him, you know, you look at Desmond Bane only got up 8 shots. Dylan Brooks struggled to shoot the basketball. Jaren Jackson Jr. struggled to shoot the basketball. And so that takes a toll on a young team, especially in a hostile environment. And so that's how I look at it. Now we got to find out, does Ja play in the next game? You know, can they rally and force, you know, a sixth game, potentially a seventh game? That's what we're going to have to find out. But I give the credit to Golden State, because they still had to make plays down the stretch. And they made more of them than Memphis.
Greg, so talking to Greg Anthony, Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio. So, look, I know it doesn't always work this way, but what I was trying to argue earlier, but no one agreed with me, was that if it's that close in a game 4 after you just got beaten up in game 3, I have to think if Ja was ready to go, we're talking about a knotted series right now. And do you think that is right? Do you think Ja's absence is the reason? When all is said and done, I know it changes everything, but that they're down 3-1 right now instead of knotted up?
Well, I mean, I think you could absolutely make that argument. I mean, you know, if you flip the script and ask if Steph Curry didn't play and they were down 2-1 going into the game and they lost the game, I don't think anybody would say that Steph Curry's absence wouldn't have had an impact. You know, I mean, listen, Ja Morant has been the best player in the series. And that's with all due respect to the greatness of Steph Curry and, you know, obviously what Golden State has done and what he's done. But in this series, Ja had been the best player. He'd been the one guy for which Golden State really didn't have an answer. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I will say this, though. I'm not going to say they win it if he plays, but if you put the scenario we watched play out last night, that fourth quarter, and he's in the game, I think that they would have had a much better opportunity. I think they get a lot more good looks, you know, in that fourth quarter. I think when the heat gets turned up because of his ability to break down the defense, he's going to create better opportunities for Memphis. So, yeah, I think that gives them a better chance. There's no doubt about that. But he wasn't in the game, and they lost. And now they've got to win 3 in a row. And we all know how difficult a challenge that's going to be, especially for a young team. We'll just have to see how they respond to the adversity. And, you know, now the series changes a little bit as well, because now they're going to play every other day in essence. So there's not going to be a lot of time in between games to rest up. And that could help a younger Memphis team, but only time will tell, especially not knowing the status of Ja Morant.
Greg Anthony, NBA on TNT analyst, former NBA PG, 1990 NCAA champion for the UNLV.
Damn, Rebels. That was a long time ago.
Man, but hey, those are the squads, though, GA. You got me into hoops.
Hey, now that you done brought that up, I just want to know who made more money in college, Greg Anthony or Jay Will?
Greg got his own business. What are you talking about?
I tell people all the time, there's a reason why we didn't leave school early.
But it's true.
You know, y'all have to start paying taxes once you leave. So okay. We're like, man, let's go and go back one more year.
You call game 4 of Philly-Miami, and I am so curious – you seeing James Harden up close. I came on TV the day after that game, and I said, it was an incredible game by James Harden. But, like, I don't expect that type of performance from James Harden night in, night out anymore. The playmaking ability of his is what really took it the next level, because they made threes. And when he plays that way, passing the ball, them shooting 49% from the three-point line, I think that's when their team's at their best. But I don't expect James Harden to be a prolific 30-plus point scorer each and every night. Am I wrong with that, or did you see something different on the floor, GA?
Well, I would say this. There's some truth to that, but I would also say that one of the biggest reasons why James was so much more effective is he had Embiid on the floor. So you got to – and you know, you guys, though, think about it. It's no different than in football, right? Like, in basketball, when you've got a player like Embiid on the floor, defensively you can't be as aggressive in the other areas because, you can't take a body off of him, right? And so when you put him and James in pick and rolls, it gives Harden the opportunity to be more aggressive. He's not playing on his heels from an offensive standpoint when Embiid's not on the floor. Because think about, it's not just that they didn't have Embiid. They didn't even have a guy who could be a threat, in essence, at that center position. And so having Embiid out there just changes everything for everyone when you look at Philadelphia. That's how dominant that guy is. And, you know, I'm not going to get it. I wanted to get into the MVP stuff. I mean, I'm a big Jokic fan. I think he's an incredible talent. But there's just, to me, there's just no way that you can't have, you couldn't have felt better about Embiid as MVP. I voted for him. I thought his dominance, it's not like just statistics. And I think that's something that we get caught up in. Like, we're going to reward a guy for having a great statistical season because other guys weren't there. I mean, now, he was really good, but that's not necessarily how you look at an MVP, in my estimation. It's about your ability to be dominant and to propel your team. And that's kind of how it played out. Even when Embiid wasn't as effective in terms of his stats, his impact was in game three, you know, his ability to dominate a game defensively. And so that helps James Harden. And I still think James Harden has a lot left. The thing that gets lost with James Harden that nobody's talked about, he made this comment. He hasn't been confident. And you guys both know, as an athlete, when you have a little doubt in your mind, and it's not necessarily that you don't have belief in your ability, but you haven't gotten comfort. He's been on three teams in 1 year. You know, no training camp, gets traded midseason, never played with any of these guys before. And we're expecting him to just, like it's a light switch, just is supposed to flip, and he's supposed to be a top 75 player immediately. That's crazy. It just doesn't work that way. Like, it takes time, you know, for him to kind of figure it out. And to get to a point where he still doesn't know what version of himself he needs to be in order for Philly to be their best version. And you guys both know, just as what you get a lot of that stuff in training camp, you know, over the course of a season when everybody's out there, your team is whole and roles are defined and developed. And so not having that, it puts a little bit of doubt in your mind. And a game like that game will do a tremendous amount for James Harden's confidence. And confidence plays a huge role in the impact of a player. And we say this in basketball all the time. Like, there ain't a big difference between the best players in the league and the next level. Oftentimes what separates good from great is the mental makeup, is their confidence, is a guy who can go 0 for 10 in the game, but he's expected to make the 11th shot, whereas a guy who's not as confident, he'll never go 0 for 10. He'll go 0 for 4. And then he'll start looking for other things to do besides shoot the basketball. And so I think that game gave James a ton of confidence to get back to who he was. And I think that's going to help them in the series. Not saying it helps him win it, but I think he'll be a better version than what we've seen thus far this postseason.
Thank you, Greg Anthony, NBA analyst from TNT, and, of course, star point guard and UNLV running Rebels. Man, I rocked that hat all year in New York.
All right, GA.
Thanks, GA. Will a change of scenery lead to one Super Bowl-winning quarterback finally getting his first MVP? All right, Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio, SiriusXM Channel 80. Key, your 2022 MVP rankings.
Yeah, this is a spring level right now. So I got Jonathan Taylor sitting at 5, Tom Brady at 4, Patrick Mahomes at 3, Aaron Rodgers at 2, and Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills sitting atop at number 1 in the spring. I must say that.
It's a spring
ranking.
No,
yes.
Justin Herbert yet. And Diana Russini giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Who's missing from the list?
Man, Key, you must have lost a lot of money this weekend at the Derby, picking all the favorites. Jeez, my mom could have came up with that list. Hi, Key. Good morning. Way to go in on all the studs.
Mm-hmm. Well, who?
Here's the problem. I agree with Key, but I'm going to throw a name in there. I think Russell Wilson is a name we have to talk about. All right. Let's rip through
He named his dog Bronco.
Oh, no. Don't do that on this show. You have a lot of people that don't want to see Russell Wilson succeed here.
Kevin.
What?
We're 2 years removed from him throwing 40 touchdown passes. I know it feels like it was a long time ago. 2 years, okay? I don't even think they need to win the division. They need to just get to the playoffs, and he will be in the conversation if he can do that again. I think it's that simple. I think we're overthinking it. I think he's recharged, refreshed, and he has a shot. I think we're crazy if we're not having a conversation about Russell Wilson possibly doing it this season.
No, I don't think he's going to be able to do it, Diana. When I look at Russell Wilson, yes, two seasons removed from 40 touchdowns, and I know that when you look at Courtland Sutton and you look at Jerry Jeudy and you look at Patrick at the receiver's position with no Noah Fant on a run-first heavy team that rushed for 1,900 yards a year ago, they're not going to all of a sudden run away from that philosophy of 1,900 yards on the ground in a combination of running backs. I just don't see where these receivers are going to give him the same things that he got in Seattle from Lockett along with DK Metcalf. I just don't see it. They haven't provided it for anybody who's been there, quarterback. And most people would say, Diana, oh, it's the quarterbacks, it's not the receivers.
Yeah, and I would – not that I want to help you make an argument here, but, you know, interceptions have been a problem for Russell, right? That's where he kind of gets into trouble. But if he can clean that up – and can you make some points – about that receiver spot, they're not as good. They're not. They're not as good as they were in Seattle. But I think Russell is just one of those players we take for granted because he kind of got lost last season with that team. As for the rest of your list, I love your Jonathan Taylor idea. You know, especially after what we saw.
Don't back down off the Russell Wilson thing.
Nathaniel
Hackett, who is offensive coordinator for Green Bay, who helped Aaron Rodgers win two MVPs, he is now the head coach of Denver. Like, that is a narrative that we can build into your reasoning why you think Russell Wilson will be in the conversation.
I like the help. I'll take some more arguments here. I think we've been very critical of Russell, but there are pieces there that I think you're missing too, Key. They may not be DK Metcalf, and they have changed. And the Noah Fant thing, I do think is their biggest weakness in terms of not having him. But I'm just not ready to say that he's not in that conversation.
Don't let Jay get you to try to side with him.
Diana, hold your own on the show.
If you really don't believe it, just say. Don't let Jay talk you into that.
I do believe it. And like your list, like I said, like my niece wrote the same list this morning. She's 8.
Diana, I have a better omission.
Those are great options. Jonathan Taylor. Here's the problem. A non-quarterback hasn't won MVP since 2012, Adrian Peterson, right? So it's been a while. It just doesn't happen. I think we've had 4 running backs since 2000 even win the award. I like the idea.
It's an idea.
You're missing the biggest, most glaring omission. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL last 2 years on third and fourth down, who's still ascending, who got more offensive line help, who has the height, speed, arm, accuracy, who threw 38 touchdowns last year. I'm going to say it right now. Justin Herbert will win MVP this year.
I think the reason why Justin Herbert has the challenge is his team needs to win.
They missed the playoffs by a single game last year, and they got better.
But I think he's got a tougher road to get than the other quarterbacks that Key has listed.
Yeah.
Max Kellerman, did you just guarantee that Justin
Herbert's going to win MVP?
He got a first win the damn enough games to get into the damn playoffs.
He's going to do that too.
Is that a spring MVP or is that
OTA MVP?
Guys, the more I think about it, a lot of times quarterbacks make enormous leaps year three. He was so good year one. Everyone's like, well, he'll regress a little year two. He was better year two.
Do you know who his coach is, Max?
Well, that's a good point.
His
coach is pretty good.
Billy, you're so stupid.
His coach is going to lose 4 games on his own.
Or they might win. Those decisions might work out next time.
Yeah, okay. Analytics. Go right ahead. Mm. It'll work out for you.
The whole league believes in analytics. The whole game is played that way nowadays.
Don't listen to that. The whole league does not believe in no damn analytics.
Billy, you're so stupid.
We're still playing that drop.
Di, your thoughts?
It all went over your heads. You guys embarrassed me that day. I had so many people tweeting at me.
We missed it.
You all just looked at me like this person is not entertaining at all, and she's not funny. And I actually thought about not coming on the show this week.
Well, I know
the control room got it. Just throwing that out.
Yeah,
oh,
we lost.
The control room.
Oh, just
because
you guys made it into a social media clip an hour after the show was over.
Yates was cutting that like immediately after she said it.
Those guys were texting me a minute after I was on the show. Like, that was amazing. I'm like, no, it wasn't. No one even heard me.
No, it was really good. Oh, it wasn't your best stuff on the show, though.
Diana needs recognition for all her good work.
Thank you.
Jay, that's right. You've been in love.
Shut up,
Jay. You've been in love.
That line haunts me.
Thank you, Diana. As always.
We're building.
Diana Russini, ladies and gentlemen. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Speaking of Russell Wilson, CBS just announced Rams-Broncos on Christmas Day, 4:30 p.m. Meantime, a blockbuster NBA trade between the league's two biggest disappointments.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LectricEbikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Yes, it does take two to make a thing go right. You need at least two superstars, right? Lakers got LeBron and AD. I mean, Westbrook is not really that anymore. Or at least wasn't that last year. And Brooklyn don't have Harden anymore, but they still have KD and Kyrie. And in case you just missed it, this is what Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, had to say on First Take on Friday. Listen to this.
I said, Stephen A., that if I'm the Lakers, I would really consider trading Anthony Davis for Kyrie Irving. And let me explain why, okay? I think that it's time for both franchises, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets, to get a new change, okay? Both of them. And I think the players need a new change. I wouldn't mind seeing Kyrie Irving back with LeBron James, a guy that he went to finals with and won the championship, had one of the greatest runs to a championship in NBA history. And I also wouldn't mind seeing Anthony Davis team up with Kevin Durant in the Eastern Conference.
What do you think, Jay?
I mean, I think for the Lakers, it would be tremendous. First off, Kyrie can play off of LeBron James. And granted, they had their little thing when they were in Cleveland, but
they
Kyrie,
went to four straight finals and won one.
Yes, and Kyrie actually just addressed this on KD's podcast the other day. I was listening to it just about all that with LeBron being water under the bridge and that their relationship is moving forward. So, like, my thing is they complement each other perfectly because LeBron is a pass-first type of guy. At this stage of his career, he can be utilized in pick-and-roll, pick-and-pop situations, can make plays down the stretch. And Kyrie is a guy that offensively can carry you, and it allows you to get rid of Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah, I see. But, Key, you know what I like about it so much, and I don't think that Brooklyn would do it. But let me tell you, Key, what I love about the idea. Kobe and Shaq were a pairing, right? I mean, Shaq and Penny, too, but Kobe and Shaq in L.A. And they won. They went to they three-peated. They three-peated, then also went to another finals. But there was always a sense they underachieved, even with the three-peat. That's how great they were. Two best players in the league on the same team in their primes. And, you know, Shaq talked and has talked recently about what he did wrong and this and that. And LeBron and Kyrie, not as exactly Kobe and Shaq, but you get the idea, right? The younger scorer guy against the big unstoppable, you know, and the big unstoppable guy on the same team. And they won a championship and they went to four straight. But Key, they didn't ever really get it right. If they were to be paired again together, it would be a chance to make it right.
I think it makes all the sense in the world for the Lakers. If I'm the Lakers and this was a real opportunity, not just a perk dream, then I certainly would do it. The problem is, will Brooklyn do it, right? And people say, well, Kyrie, he'll fit in L.A. He will fit in L.A. with no problem at all. We are a little different than so the East Coast people in terms of just – I think the thought process, the zen-like, all the stuff that Kyrie –
yeah, forget the vaccine, cold-pressed juice. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. We want to go to the top organic markets. He can hang out in Venice Beach and go watch the guys hoop in the afternoon.
Toes out, yeah.
Toes out. I mean, it's just Kyrie, you know? And I think it all will fit perfectly for his personality here. If there's a little kookiness that goes on, Jay, that happened in Brooklyn where he decided he wanted to go on a little hiatus for a couple weeks, I don't know that the Laker fans would be mad. We'd be like, okay, cool, where you going? Let's go. That's the reality of it, though, when you out here.
Where are you going? To isolated Malibu? Great, we'll all hang out at the beach.
We're going to hang out at the Topanga Canyon together. Just let us know.
Phil Jackson advising, let him go. It's
let
all
him
good.
Go.
It's
exactly.
Right. The more you let him go, the more he wants to
the
be
The more
here.
He goes.
Yes.
If you have a bird and you open your hand, if it wants to fly away, it will come.
It was never yours.
Absolutely.
Is the Big Bad Empire back? That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.